Welcome to Beautifully Healthy, Dr. Allison Key, and joined, as always, by my bestie for the resty, Erica Smith.
Hello.
And then today, our very special guest is Erica's friend.
Yes.
Mandy Grant. Welcome.
Hello.
We're glad you're here today.
Thank you.
And you have your beautiful little one with you. Sweet Penelope. She's precious.
Thank you.
She's beautiful. Well, tell us about you.
What parts do you want to know?
All of them.
So I went to school with Erica. We played soccer together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a flight attendant. I'm also a realtor. And I have one daughter. She is 15 months old now. And then I've got four other boys in a combined household.
Oh, that's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah.
How old are the boys?
So we have a 22-year-old, a 20-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 13-year-old.
Y'all are all over the map.
So we have the 11-year-old and 13-year-old and her, you know, and then the older two
adults.
Are the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. The adults.
That's right.
Children. So how is it right now being a flight attendant?
Well, things have changed so much. You know, I had a year off when Penelope came. So when I came back to flying, which was back at the end of May, beginning of June, I came back to a totally different airline, like completely different. With COVID now, obviously things have changed so much. You have to wear a mask with everything and at every aspect of being in the airport, being on the plane itself, when you're serving, which Delta does not do a service anymore on board. There's no like beverage service or anything like that. It's all in a bag. So you hand out bags now to everybody that has a bottle of water and some snacks in it, even if it's a four-hour flight or, you know, whatever. So it's very different. It's just a totally different thing to come back to.
We travel quite a bit, and mm-hmm. I've flown twice since COVID, mm-hmm. since the pandemic started. And as a consumer, I love it. I've had like a whole row to myself. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. The plane's half full, but I know the airline industry is taking a huge hit.
Huge.
Because of this. So
they said it's going to take about, if things were to turn right now, right? We're looking at like a 2 to 3 year recovery.
Wow.
So I've been there 13 years. And they've cut our hours drastically to try to avoid furlough. I don't know if you guys are familiar with furlough in the airline industry. You know, it's basically like you're laid off until they need you or they call you back. Mm. And that can be within 6 years. So
Six years.
So, you know, there's big companies out there right now. I don't know if I'm allowed to name drop or whatever, but... some of the larger
we have no
carriers.
Rules.
Okay, good. We have no rules. So, like United is furloughing, American is furloughing. I think that they're looking at 15,000 flight attendants furloughing.
Good
gracious. It's taken a huge hit. So Delta's doing everything that they can to try to avoid that. It's just a waiting game right now to see kind of how things turn around and what's going on with that. And, you know, so for right now in this moment, they're doing everything they can, which is awesome, to try to avoid furlough. But we're the only ones who have not furloughed yet. Mm-hmm. The government gave the airlines a bailout, right?
Yeah.
Until October.
Yeah.
So they have to keep you on until October, and then anything is fair game. So
Ooh. It's
just kind of a waiting game.
I feel like right now there are two kinds of people in the world too. There are people like us who are like, oh, this is the perfect time to travel because I get
it's
a whole
awesome.
Road to myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's cheap. Mm-hmm. I can go wherever I want to. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we've traveled quite a bit since mm-hmm. the pandemic started, mm-hmm. to be honest. And then there are people who are like terrified.
Tickets
like y'all are
dirt
cheap. Insane for going anywhere.
Oh, I know. Tickets are dirt cheap right now. I think I looked at one the other day. I was looking at LA, just Los Angeles flights. Obviously, we have the opportunity to fly for free, but it's on standby.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't want to fly standby, which it kind of sucks sometimes to fly standby. So, you know, I was looking at tickets to LA for all of us, and they were $85 round trip.
Awesome.
Right. And the good thing is, so the good thing is, though, now the what airlines are doing is, okay, let's say I bought those tickets. And then, like, as it got closer to the day of traveling, I couldn't go or I didn't feel comfortable going or whatever. Well, now I have a credit.
Yeah.
I can call, say, hey, I don't want to fly. I'm not comfortable going, whatever. I need to cancel my ticket, whatever. And they give you a credit for a later day, you know, or whenever you want to travel, and it doesn't have to be booked right then. So at least you have still that flexibility to fly.
It kind of worked out great for us. This sounds so horrible, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
We had tickets booked because we were going on a mission trip in April to Honduras. Well, then they shut the borders of Honduras down, so we couldn't go. So called Delta. They gave us credits. And then tickets have been dirt cheap. So I took those credits for full price tickets that we paid to go to Honduras. And we've used those credits, and we've flown to California, we've flown to Las Vegas, and we have a trip planned to Cabo this fall.
Yeah, because tickets are so cheap.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, right now is like a perfect time. If anybody does want to travel, or, you know, if you're comfortable traveling, you know, then it's a great thing to do right now. Especially, like, I think Delta's taken so much pride in, like, their airplanes and stuff. Like, they clean them between every flight.
Yes.
Like, highly clean them. And sanitize them, and they've put new filters in but how they circulate the airplane. Yeah. So, and then there are certain airplanes that only are circulating fresh air outside the airplane. You know, it's that fresh 30,000 feet air that come in and circulate and stuff. So it's really like, you know, I don't feel unsafe.
That's what I was going to say. And I know everybody's tolerance for this stuff is different. And in healthcare, you know, it's like whatever. We're exposed to everything. But if Atlanta is kind of our home base for flying, and it's the busiest airport in the world, and people from all over the world are generally coming through that airport. Okay, I've never felt safer flying than I do right now, because the volume is so far down, and the measures that everyone's taken. Even the Atlanta airport, the first time we flew after the pandemic started, they didn't have the barriers, those clear barriers at that in security. But the way they had it moving, you never passed another person in the security line. It was like this crazy maze they had set up. I was like, I have no idea who did this, but they were pretty smart to do it. And now they have the clear barriers set up. Everybody's masked. There are stickers on the floor everywhere what the 6 feet distancing is. And people are constantly cleaning. The planes have never looked, smelled cleaner. You're spaced out, you're handed this little bag, there's not a bunch of traffic up and down the aisle. Like, I mean, seriously, never felt safer.
Absolutely.
More sanitary traveling than I do right now.
Yeah. And the good thing is, like, let's say there is an exposure, right? Somebody comes in, you know, on a flight, and they have a positive test within 48 hours or whatever it is on board the airplane. Well, okay, now they're going to tell everybody. They let you know. It's not like they don't try to, like, it's not like they cover it up or anything like that. You know, they let you know, like, hey, there's been an exposure. This is what we, you know, we're just letting you know. So they do let everybody know, too, if there's an exposure and, you know, if somebody's tested positive. So,
You know, we're just really fortunate. Like, our family's very low risk, all things considered. So I'm trying to capitalize on this opportunity to travel for cheaper than normal. And again, everybody's tolerance for that kind of thing is different. And I'm not trying to sound flippant about it, but it's been kind of amazing. It's been my experience.
And, you know, we had a plane, you know, we still are flying. We just actually, I won't say still because it just started back up, that we are flying to China, but we don't have crews laying over there, right? So they bring the airplane in, and you should see how they come on board and clean it. I mean, they are in full on hazmat suits, the cleaners in China, full on hazmat suits. I mean, I'm talking about their faces covered, eyes,
the whole nine yards,
feet, everything. I mean, they are from head to toe covered, and then they clean it real quick, and then the plane takes back off. So the plane doesn't sit there very long. And, you know,
that's probably rough on the crew, though, to some extent.
Yeah, it's, it's a 6-day trip. So you go from, like, I think it's Atlanta to, don't quote me because I'm not sure the route exactly. You know, I haven't flown it. So it's like Atlanta to maybe Korea, and then you lay over in Seoul, and then you go Seoul to China, China back to Seoul, lay over, and then come back home.
Jeez.
So
it's
like a 6-day, you know, trip.
Do they have like two crews on that plane? Like, as far as, are y'all, if you're not staying in China, are there shifts?
So when you go from Atlanta to Seoul, you have a full crew, and half of the crew, when it, you know, you have what's called a crew rest period. So half the crew will rest while the other crew is up. And then, you know, you swap halfway through the flight or whenever that crew, you know, when second shift, you know, whatever. And so it's not staffed fully with like two crews, right. But you do get a break. And we have bunk beds and stuff.
Oh, cool.
You would just never know where they are.
Secret bunk beds. It's kind right. of awesome.
Right.
Do you love being a flight attendant?
I do. I think now it's different because our schedules are different as far as like the flying and stuff. I do. It's had its moments.
Sure.
I think that's with every job though, right? So if I only work 3 days a week, yeah, I love
you can
that.
Suffer through it. Yeah.
Right. Right. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm gone.
Right.
So those 3 days I'm gone away from my family. So it's kind of right now I'm in the process of trying to figure out, do I work those 3 days and stay gone, or do I find something closer to home?
You said you have a real estate license, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I hear that real estate's booming right now.
It is.
Oddly enough.
It is. Real estate, I did just to have something to fall back on should something happen, like what's happened, right? So I've been licensed for 4 years. And while I love it, it's not consistent enough
sure.
for me. Plus, okay, if I'm flying 3 days a week and I'm gone, real estate is 7 days a week. You are busting your
all
butt.
Hours.
All hours. You're busting your butt. You better be there when a buyer needs you to pick up the phone, you know, and stuff like that. So for me, it's like, okay, I work my 3 days and then I'm home. Mm-hmm. So I can give full attention to my family for 4 days before I have to go back out. Whereas with real estate, like it's all different hours, all the time, constant, you know, running here, running there, doing this, listing this, showing that, you know, and it's just very different. So real estate I kind of do is like a side gig. Like friends and family, and you know, if somebody's like, hey, you know, I need you or whatever, sure, I'll be there. But you know, I'm not out there cold calling people and you know, doing stuff. I'd rather focus on my family at that point when I'm home.
Where's your favorite place to fly to?
Dubai.
Oh,
I love Dubai, it is beautiful.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah,
you've
mine too.
Got desert, and then you've got beach, and then you got city. And it is the cleanest city you have ever been to.
They've got like real strict rules though. Like you can't right, yeah. say cuss words. You can't.
I mean, and when you go
well,
in,
you would be arrested.
I know.
Immediately.
Take I this mean, one in.
Right. I really had to tone it down when I was there. Like for real. And, you know, when you go to the temples and stuff, you need to be dressed appropriately and, you know, is be respectful of their culture and stuff like that. But I am telling you, it is one of the most beautiful, just, I can't even explain it, that you walk in and you've got, I mean, rich, like disgustingly rich. The ceilings are just gold. I mean, real gold. It's beautiful, just beautiful and clean, and everybody is super nice. There's no crime. You've got cameras all over that city. They know when you enter that city and when you leave. Like, you are not allowed to stay. And the only way you can become a citizen there is if you marry a sheik.
Really?
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It is just, it's an amazing city. And if you want to visit it, visit it. The beaches are beautiful, just the highest point in the world is there. You know, the Burj Khalifa is just, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'd love to
it
go
is,
there someday.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Please go there. And, you know, they don't sell alcohol there or anything like that. So if you are a drinker or want to have a drink or, you know, whatever, you can, but you need to buy it in duty free before you leave the airport.
Yeah,
so
that's a good
just
tip.
Just a word to the wise. Yeah, they don't serve alcohol there or anything. Oh, the shopping though! Oh my god, it is to die for. It is.
Is it super expensive? The shopping.
You know, with the last time that I went, which was probably back in 2016. No, it wasn't that bad as far as like our exchange rate,
mm-hmm.
and I think our dollar has increased since then too. So it's pretty good. It's just things that you're not going to find here. You know. Just different stores and stuff like that. It's just,
yeah,
it's hard to explain.
Do you do mostly domestic flights now?
Yes.
Where's your least favorite place to fly to?
Philadelphia.
Why?
If you're listening, please do not, and you're from Philadelphia, please do not get offended.
Everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Right. It's just very high maintenance. Mm. The people. It's the flight more so than the city itself.
I gotcha.
It's just the people are very high maintenance, and I don't know why. It's just Philly. I'm like, I try to avoid Philadelphia.
I don't want that one.
I know. I'm like, mm-mm. Like, I need to sell off this trip immediately.
That is interesting. Does it have, like, a reputation?
And New York. Oh,
I bet Lord. New York. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. New York and Philadelphia is just...
High maintenance passengers on those flights. Huh?
Oh, you have no idea.
Demanding.
What's the worst? The
craziest
thing. Yeah, I was gonna say, what's like the worst or craziest thing that's happened?
I mean, you see all these YouTube videos of like all these things happening on a flight. I've never seen anything like...
For the most part, honestly, like a flight's going to go pretty smooth, right? Yeah. One time when I was traveling back from Amsterdam, we had a stroke on board.
Oh,
so passenger had a stroke.
Too much fun in Amsterdam.
Right. And so we landed in Detroit, but I'm telling you, it was over in the middle of the ocean. And you're like...
There's nothing you can do.
Right. For us, we can hook up to UPMC. So we can call University of Pittsburgh Medical Center during the flight. And it's like, you know, you would think with all the technology nowadays, like there'd be a more advanced way of calling somebody on an airplane. And there's totally not. You've got this like old school headset jack that like hooks up above like a passenger seat, right? And there's only like... couple of places on the airplane that it can hook up, and so it's this old jack and you hook it up and you've got these big headphones and you got to talk to them, you know, and it's like a push to talk button and everything. And but if there's a doctor on board or if there's a nurse on board, somebody that is licensed that can administer certain things, we do have those things on board that, you know, you can start an IV, you can, we've got saline or whatever, you know. I mean, there's a whole kit that we have that can save somebody's life. I'm not licensed to start an IV. However, somebody on board can, you know, if they are licensed and they get the okay from UPMC. So, you know, they started an IV on this guy. They had this bag hanging from the ceiling, you know, and everything. I don't know what you can... I mean, you know more than me. That's like, how do you save a stroke victim,
a couple
right?
of questions. What are the chances of there not being a licensed healthcare provider on a flight?
Small.
I mean, there's almost,
very slim.
There's probably almost always.
Very slim. Yeah. And everybody's so nice and usually quick to be like, I'll help, you know,
yeah.
Like a nurse or whatever. Like there's usually always somebody on board that can help.
So if there wasn't, could y'all administer some? I know you couldn't start an IV, but could you administer medication under the direction of?
Yes.
So
yes.
Even we if there wasn't, you could do it.
We know. Obviously CPR.
Yeah. Is there an AED on every flight?
Oh, yeah. Every flight there's an AED. You know, we've got things that people wouldn't even know. Narcan. Yeah.
Probably smart.
Every flight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's different things that we do have that can save somebody's life that you probably wouldn't even think about. You know, people think, okay, we're only there to get them out in evacuation, but we can deliver a freaking baby.
That's awesome.
Okay. It's like her dream.
Yeah. I'm going to deliver a baby one day. All my pregnant employees, I'm like, let me deliver it. We can do it here. We got stirrups on the table.
I don't know how many times she's wanted to check to see if I was dilated so she could deliver my baby.
Like, let me get that pool for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it right here. There's a tub in that back bathroom. Come on. I know. Nobody's taking me up on it yet. I don't really blame them. But
that's fine.
You know, it's like riding a bicycle, delivering babies is. Once you've done it, you don't ever forget it.
Right. So have you?
Yeah.
You yeah. have?
Part of family medicine residencies, you have to deliver 100 babies.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've delivered at least 100 babies. And then oversaw, you know, interns and whatever, delivering their 100 babies. So.
Like vaginally?
Yeah.
Or like...
Vaginally.
Can you do C-section and stuff?
I mean, I guess you could. Somebody I went to residency with went and did another year's fellowship to become certified to do C-sections.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was going to a really rural area to practice and was going to do full OBGYN. It's really not my cup of tea. I appreciate the miracle of birth, but it's a little messy and unpredictable for my taste. So it's not something I wanted to do long term.
Biggest thing that scares me about delivery is that vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, mm-mm.
That'd be crazy to deliver a baby on a plane. Can you imagine?
Mm-mm.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
what's the rudest thing people do? Y'all couldn't see your face.
So what I try to tell people now is that just like when you go into a doctor's office, it says, please no cell phones. There's a reason for that, right? Because people just don't focus on what needs to get done. So back before COVID, you know, you'd get to somebody's row and you're trying to say, hey, what do you need to, what would you like to drink? Can I get you something to drink? And, you know, they're just sitting there with their headphones in, watching the TV or whatever. And it's like, hello, you know,
over here.
And then they take their earphone out and they're like, what?
Is this your first flight?
Right.
I'm offering you something to drink.
I'm correct. Standing here with a 600-pound beverage cart. What do you think I'm asking you? You know, honestly.
It's not meet me in the bathroom.
I mean, seriously. What? It's like so rude. Like, how about, like, excuse me?
Pardon me?
Pardon me?
Ma'am? Anything? Is the... have you ever caught anybody trying to join the Mile High Club? Does it happen? Is that in the movies?
You know, it's in the movies, and I'm sure it's been done.
I try to talk my husband into it all the time. And
really?
He doesn't want to?
Well,
we both have real big butts, and I think he thinks we're going to get stuck in there or something.
Well, I'm like, you know that's not water on the floor.
Oh, gross.
Right? Like, and you see people come back there, and they're barefooted, and I'm like, that is just disgusting. And then you walk that through the house when you get home. It's just disgusting. People are just disgusting. And so if you want to join the Mile High Club, like, more power to you, please go ahead. Like, I'm not stopping you. Like, I hope you enjoy that.
You need a full body condom for
right,
that.
Right. Like that, like, you're bound to catch something. You know, honestly.
And it may not be the Rona.
Yeah.
More power to you.
The Rona is the least of your worries.
Right, exactly. Like, you might worry about the Rona right now.
That is awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on today.
Is that it?
It's easy peasy.
Oh, okay. Well,
is there anything? What are your best travel tips? So we, you know, pay attention when your attendant comes by.
Yeah, just, you know, just be respectful. I think that's not like just.
Wouldn't that be a good rule for everything in life?
You want somebody to treat your grandma.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the biggest travel tip is don't pack that carry-on.
Holy moly.
If I talk about that with a carry-on, I'm going to lose my mind.
If you need to pack that much in a carry-on, just check the freaking bag.
Hello?
Just check it. Mm-hmm. Everything would go so much faster getting on and off this plane if you people would not.
That's right.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It makes me crazy.
Exactly right.
And if you have to shove 3 or 4 times to get it to fit in there,
mm-mm. Get it off.
Correct.
Go
somewhere else.
It's like grown men. Uh-huh. Okay. That.
We can fill in the blank.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Okay. That are like, can you put my bag up there?
No.
All the time. All the time. Mm-hmm. Can you put my bag up there? Can you?
Are your arms broke?
I tell them, you pack it, you put it.
Good for you. That's
you pack it.
That's
you put
worse.
It. I'm
that's
not
really awful.
Like, I will be more than happy to assist you. I will be. But if you are grown and you pack a dead body in that bag and want me to lift it, like, I can't.
If it's, I mean, my rule of thumb is if it's more than a duffel bag.
Right.
Or more than a backpack.
More than a backpack.
Check the bag.
Correct.
It does not save you that much time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I think what it is, though, is that people don't want to pay the money. They don't want to pay them.
Become a Sky Miles member.
Exactly. Get a credit card.
Yes.
I hope you get that. But yeah, if you like, just check the bag.
And my thing is, I can't carry on anything because my hair products are all full size. And
hello, right. Or, you know, you can carry it down to the airplane. They gate check it for you for free, right?
Yes.
So you're getting on the airplane.
Yes.
And you see people put their bags right there to the side. It's tagged and it will be in baggage claim when you get there. So if you want to save money, but you don't want to lift it in the bin, roll it on down to the airplane, ask the gate agent to gate check your bag. It's good to go. It'll be
That's
in baggage claim.
That's a good
claim.
Little tip for people.
Mm-hmm. It'll be in baggage claim.
Well, we're usually traveling as a family of 4. So mm-hmm. I try to just pack all 4 of us in one, depending on the length of our trip and where we're going, either one big suitcase or two medium-sized suitcases, and we check them. Because, mm-hmm. you know, with mm-hmm. kids and everybody's got to carry on it, and yeah. a tablet and some headphones and this and that. I'm not fighting a carry-on bag.
Even
I'm not doing
her,
it.
I just carry backpack. Yeah. That's it.
Just get on, backpack. Get That's off, it. Get your bags.
That's it.
Lord, it takes forever.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Oh, mercy. All right, y'all. Well, you've got some tips now. Travel's cheap.
Travel's cheap. Book them, guys. Book it Book now.
Be respectful. Take your mask. Check mm-hmm. your bag. That's what we got for
and
you.
And if you don't have a mask and you refuse to wear one, they will not let you fly ever again.
Really? They'll blacklist you.
Mm-hmm. Delta will. They've done it quite a few times during this whole thing.
You know, I'm like everybody else. I don't love wearing a mask. Whatever, whatever. But, you know, you have to wear pants. You should wear shoes.
I mean, some passengers don't wear pants.
You have to wear, you have to wear a body covering. It's not that big a deal. Just put it on.
Right.
It's not that
Absolutely.
Big a deal.
Absolutely.
So, because travel's cheap.
Travel's cheap. Get it together.
Awesome, Mandy. Thanks All for coming right, on sure. today. We'll have you back soon. This was fun.
Please do.
All right. Until next time, y'all, stay healthy.
Bye.